Hello, everyone. Welcome to Office Hours on a Tuesday night. Let's get everything straight here. You guys know how this works. I'm here for 2 hours. I will coach as long as someone has their hand raised. And we will, we will just coach. So raise your hand. Zoom puts you in order for me, which is wonderful. And we can get started. Let's see who we got here. All right, we got some hands. Lisa, looks like you're first. Hello, I can't hear you. Let's see if I can. How about that?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Gotcha. Okay. How are you doing?
Good. I'm in my car again, but I think it's a little cooler this time.
Good.
My phone overheated last time.
Is that what happened? I wondered. Yeah. So why don't we start from the beginning since this is a new call and it might catch new people.
Okay. So
give us a recap.
Well, I was calling with the question about knowing when to leave a relationship versus, you know, using the models and changing your thoughts and trying to think differently, and had explained that I feel like I've kind of been doing that for the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And being in this program has made, in my thought downloads and recovery worksheets, when I went back and was reading all of them, I realized almost all of them, of my stuff sort of revolved around these conflicts I was having with this, with my partner. We've called him Tom.
Okay. I remember Tom.
Yeah. And so then you had asked me about, you know, what's the, it would have been boiled down to, I said, was fear. Fear of being alone, I think, is what was keeping me in it. Fear of that I was making a mistake, because maybe the problem is just that I have really messed up thinking. And if I had better thinking, then maybe the relationship would work. So you asked me to explore the fear of being alone, which I have done some of that. But in the meantime, since I talked to you last, I actually left.
Wow, really? Tell me why.
There was another big, well, I had told you about my car was broke down. He wouldn't give me a ride to work. And it turned into a huge fight because I just spoke, you know, I kindly spoke up and said, I got to tell you that it really bothers me that you couldn't give me a ride to work. Well, it just set off all these usual, I mean, the same pattern, it just this really bad thing where he's not speaking to me and all this. And I just felt like, and it turned into things like, I don't like you, and really negative. And I just felt like I can't go back. Like my body, I just felt like I cannot go, I can't do it anymore.
Okay. So tell me what you, this is really interesting. Tell me what you felt in your body. You know, was it, tell me what your body felt like.
Dread, just dread and like tension and like just dread at the thought of you.
Yeah. Were your shoulders all tight?
Yes.
You know, describe the physical feelings.
I'll try. I have a hard time with that for whatever reason. I really,
well, that's why I want you to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Knots in my stomach, probably.
Okay.
Stuff in my throat, clenched jaw. Sometimes, I mean, now that I've left, I have the fear components coming in. So now I have that going on where I'm really noticing I'll have, you know, surges of anxiety, and it feels like my heart's really racing. My hands are shaking.
Okay. So you described dread, right? And you survived it.
Yep.
Right. That's the beautiful thing about feelings is I heard, is it, how do you say his name? Deepak Chopra.
Chopra.
I heard him say not too long ago that a feeling is a biological response to a thought. And I thought, that's exactly what it is. That's, you know, it just seemed like such a clear definition. And we get so afraid of feelings, right? So you got dread and you got all tensed up and it felt terrible in your body and in your mind. Yet you're sitting here talking to me right now.
Yeah.
So you survived it, right? Yeah. The same thing is going to happen with your anxiety and your fear of being alone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think the other thing I've really realized through the doing this program since June, I started in June 7th, was that that's a big thing for me is fear of feelings, fear of not being able to manage my emotions. And I think I've been using food to do that. For as long as I can remember, that's what I've done. It kind of had numbed me out, numbed that stuff out. And I can avoid it for a little while.
And that's what's so interesting, because a feeling is really, you know, there's just not much to it. You know, it's exactly what it says. You know, we're afraid to feel. We're afraid to feel fear and loneliness and boredom and all these things, so we eat. Yet when you break it down to a feeling being just that biological response to a thought that might tense you up a little bit or put your stomach in knots or give you a little bit of a headache, or maybe you cry, but then you stop crying, you loosen up, your head, you know, clears up, and you move on to the next thing. Right? It's like, I describe it a lot of times as a wave, right? And you've probably experienced this since you and Tom are no longer together. It'll come on like a wave crashing on the beach, right? And you'll feel all these physical things and you'll sit with it and you'll, you know, tense up and all that. But after a little bit, it kind of eases back out, right? But then it comes back and it eases back out. Is that, wouldn't you agree?
That I totally agree.
And so someone said
something to me I think was really helpful. She said, you can say to yourself, I'm having this feeling. I'm feeling very anxious right now. Mm-hmm. I feel very scared right now. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Right.
In other words, allow it to be.
Right.
Don't try and run from it. Don't, you know.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That was very wise advice that you got. Because if you resist the feeling, then you add hard on top of it.
Yes.
You add, right? Instead of just...
So cool is that the other times I've left, because I've tried to leave before, I totally resisted. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to feel... It's like a little child almost. Like, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to be going through this.
Right.
I've been just trying to tell myself, you are... This is what's happening. This is what's happening. Mm-hmm. You left.
Yeah.
I had made a promise to myself if I ever left again, like I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's it. So I'm trying to honor that commitment I made to myself.
Mm-hmm. And How does that feel?
Empowered. I feel really empowered right now. Mm-hmm.
And how does that feel in your body? What happens to your body when you feel empowered?
I loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm relaxed. And I've already had people say to me, you already seem so much more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And they are comparing it to previous times as well. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I think I'm just accepting it. I'm just accepting that this is what it is. And a lot of like the podcasts I've been listening to from you guys have helped me so much. I can't, it's amazing to me since June 7th, how much I've gotten already. But like
I want to tell you something else you did when you said you were empowered. You smiled.
Right.
Yeah, you did. Seriously. Yeah. So
it feels good. It feels so good to feel empowered. But then I start having the thought like, but what about when this goes away? So I've been trying to work on that. Like, look at that. Like, look what you're thinking. You know?
It's going to go away. About, you know, half of everything you think and feel is going to be negative. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's when you allow yourself to be normal and to think and feel the negative and the positive together. I mean, if you didn't have the negative feelings, you wouldn't understand the positive ones. You know, it's like a balance, right? You wouldn't understand empowered if you didn't feel stuck.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's just all part of the human experience. It's part of the gift we are given as human beings to think and feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I have this other mantra that I read every morning to myself, because once I made the connection through listening to the stuff that I'm avoiding, I've been avoiding anything difficult. Or, you know, so I have a thing I read every day that says, life's treasures are found in facing difficult situations and emotions.
Yeah.
And that's sort of my mantra right now. Like, okay, I got to do this. I'm looking forward to, I'm going to get to something really great on the other side once I get through this.
Right. And I was going to ask you, why do you think that is? And it's because you'll watch yourself walk through it and get to the other side and find the success and the empowerment that you want.
Yeah.
That's the goal. But you have to walk through the, you have to walk through the mud and the yuck to get to the goal, right?
Yeah.
You have to feel all the feels in order to, you know, find your success.
You know, those last few days, because I had to find a place to live temporarily. So my like 24-hour plans and stuff, and I was doing like every day, so committed, have been a little bit hit and miss. I'm not eating. That's the thing. I'm probably not eating enough right now. But I still want to try and get back to that, because I feel like a little bit of that is the running, maybe, like not wanting to sit with it. And I haven't done any thought downloads since I left him. And I was like doing it multiple times a day.
Yeah, because they were about him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to get back to that. Okay.
You process the feelings of it instead of like, okay, I'm just not going to feel this pain.
Right.
There's pain there. And that's what I'm saying I'm doing. Like, I'm going to face this.
Yes. So find the thoughts that are causing the pain, right? And then figure out what you want to do with them. If you want to keep thinking them, it's okay. If you want to level them up a little bit by a little bit, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But find them so that you can see them and acknowledge them and decide if that's what you want to, if you want to keep thinking. I was talking to someone today who has on repeat, she has, "You'll never get this. You're a loser. She has this on repeat." And I said, picture a jukebox. Okay. You're old enough to know a jukebox, right? With the arm that goes in and it pulls out the record.
Yeah.
I said, you just keep pulling that same crappy record out all the time. You've got 100 to choose from.
Right.
I said, but you have to know what's playing on the record in order to know which buttons to push.
Right.
Right. So you're going to have to just make sure you know what you're telling yourself in the back of this mind here of yours as you move through this transition time for you.
The other thing I'm doing, and I wondered what you think about this, was before I've always kind of got sucked back in by him little by little, like a phone call. Can I just talk to you? And then can we just have dinner? And then can we, then, you know, I'm moved back in and at the end result. So I'm trying to have no contact with him as a protection of myself. Like I feel like until I get through some of what we're talking about and really firm in my empowerment, like I don't even, what's there to talk about? You know?
Yeah.
And so I just feel like, okay, now I'm just going to really focus on this program. And the other thing is I never felt safe. He didn't know I was doing this and I was hiding. Like when I would journal, he was around, I couldn't do it. So now I also have this newfound freedom to actually do this stuff, because I was like walking on eggshells when I was doing it. So I'm kind of excited about that as well. Like, okay, like I'm free now to sit and journal, and I don't have to worry about hiding the journal. And so,
So you have a lot of emotions to feel right now. You have empowerment and freedom and excitement, along with loneliness and dread and fear. So you have a lot of work you can do, a lot of good work you can do to really sort through what it is you want to feel and what you're going to allow yourself to feel. You should absolutely allow yourself to feel a little bit of loneliness and fear.
Yeah.
Because the feeling those is the only way you're going to resolve them.
Well, I heard something on one of the talks that said something about like looking at it as a gift when something negative like that comes up. So I've latched onto that, and I'm going to look at like, this is a gift. This is a chance to like go through it and realize I can go through it.
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
Yeah. And you're totally safe while you go through it. Isn't that the beautiful thing? You can allow those feelings and know that you're going to be A-okay on the other side of them. I am so glad you called in. I'm so glad to get this update, because it's been a couple of weeks. I think Betsy did last week's office hours.
Well, I have to tell you, I keep listening to our talk, my first talk, because you kept talking. Dropped off, and I keep listening to it. And it's weird because it's helping me, even though I was the one having the conversation, it's helping me even to hear myself speaking. Like,
I think I talked it. Were you the one? I lost two calls that night, right? Did. Were you the one? No, you're not the one. I think I just kept talking to you, right? The other one I picked up and finished up at the end of the call, right?
Yeah. But just thank you so much. And, you know, the only thing I want to try and do is find like a support system within the tribe. And I'm not quite sure how to navigate that. I'm a part of a Marco Polo for people in my state, but I feel like I want something a little more like maybe somebody who's gone through some of the same things I'm going through, mm-hmm. where we could be mutually supportive. And I did put something in Ask Coaches, and they said, you know, they gave a little advice. I just haven't done it yet. I mean, I'm literally trying to get moved out of his house without him being there and stuff like that. So I've got a lot going on with that.
But. Yeah. Two things you can do on that. On Mondays, we have the accountability threads. Right? The accountability group threads where you just go in and you say, hey, my name's Lisa and this is what I'm going through. Can, you know, anybody been through this and want to walk the walk with me? Or you can just make a Facebook post, right? Okay. And, you know, see what you can find and just watch, you know, you might also watch the Facebook group and see if anybody else is going through anything similar, any recent breakups or, you know, life changes. You know, you can hook up that way too. Also, if there's anybody on this call, there's 80 some odd people here right now that want to hook up with Lisa, y'all talk in the chat. Make sure though that you talk to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, I'm the only one who's going to see your post.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You got anything else?
So much. I only have one little thing I'm really afraid of. I feel like there's lots of other people, but I do have the one fear that keeps kind of poking at me that maybe I keep pulling out of the jukebox is him seeing someone else like that. Like every time I have that thought, like, oh, what if he starts seeing someone else right away?
Okay. And I get, what if he does?
And I'm going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. Why is that a problem?
I think, I don't know.
No. Not allowed to say I'm not. I don't know. Why is that a problem? If you had to guess, why is that a problem?
Maybe like a fear of missing out. Like he found someone and I'm not gonna, that's it.
Maybe.
And part of it, you know, I mean, I still care about him.
Yeah. So wouldn't you want him to be happy?
It would seem like it, wouldn't it? Oh, sorry. I dropped you.
That's okay. Are you coming back or have I lost you again?
No, I'm coming back. I think.
If that helps. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So why? Yeah, I can see you. So why is it a problem if he starts seeing someone else?
I think it maybe taps into that I explained to you, I'm a little afraid of like maybe it was a mistake to leave him and all that stuff about maybe the problems were really just my thinking and maybe I could have made it work if I would have just, you know, been better.
Okay, let's stop there. The first one was maybe I made a mistake leaving him. Is that the truth?
That's not the truth.
Okay. What was the second one? Maybe.
Probably something like I'm not going to find someone to be
with. Okay. Is that the truth? I'll never. What if you don't?
That's the thing.
Would you rather be with him than be alone? Would you rather be with this man who wouldn't even pick you up?
I believe because I finally realized this is not better than being alone.
So that's not the truth. That's what you have to do. When you start thinking, oh my gosh, what if he finds someone before I do? And all these things play in your head. You write them down and you say, is that really the truth? Am I telling myself the truth here? And most of the time, it's going to be, no, that's not the, no, that is not why I stayed with him. That is not why I let, you know, whatever it was, you just go back through and you question every little thing your brain is telling you and bring yourself back around to, I absolutely did the right thing because that was the choice I made. That's how you know you made the right choice. It's because that's the one you made. So you may as well decide it was right.
Right.
Isn't that cool? I made that choice, so hey, must be right, because that's the one I made.
When I did it, it was like, I'm showing up for myself. This is me showing up for myself.
Right. So when your brain starts throwing that crap at you, if you see him out or he starts dating and your brain goes, oh, look, you're missing out. I want you to think, no, wait a minute. I told Kathy that night on office hours, I absolutely made the right choice. I was standing up for myself. Mm-hmm. Remind your brain when it starts to go down the toilet that it's wrong. Because it can be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy.
You are very welcome. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mitzi, you're next.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm on this call today is a couple of my friends from my accountability group had challenged me to do some TDLs.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was struggling in a few places. And mm-hmm. so as I was doing them, I found a thought that I didn't realize I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I need to go deeper with it. And I don't know how to go deeper with it.
Okay.
And the thought was that I am defined by my weight.
Oh, okay.
And I know that's not true. My head knows that's not true, mm-hmm. but it feels so true.
Okay.
So
tell me what that means.
Well, I've always been the heavier girl. And oh my Lord, I'm already going to start crying.
Then we're doing the right work.
Yes, we are. We are. Ever since I was a young girl, I've always been the heavier of all my siblings, all my cousins, everything. And it was very apparent that it was a disappointment to certain people in my family versus others. I was just always the bigger girl. Like, you know, my older sister and I, when my mom would take us out, she'd call us the number 10 because she was a skinny one. So she was the one and I was the zero because I was the round one.
Okay.
And things like that have just happened throughout my life. And that's just one example. Okay. And I don't want to blame the past for that stuff because actually I've already worked that out with my mom about that and just let her know that that was really hurtful and what have you. And that's fine. But it's just, I can't, or I shouldn't say I can't. I've been unable to figure out how to get past this thought.
Okay. So let's do a model. Do you know the model?
Yes.
All right. Have you done the model on this thought?
On this thought, no.
Okay.
Actually, I did. I take that back. I did, but can't find my notes for it.
Okay.
So we can do it again.
All right. So your thought was, I am defined by my weight.
Yes.
And how does that make you feel?
Sad.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. When you feel sad because you're defined by your weight, what do?
I go eat all the things.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I keep to myself.
You hide?
I do. I hide. Mm-hmm. Keep to myself. Just try to black out the whole world. So yeah, I definitely hide.
Anything else?
Well, there have been occasions where I've gotten into some serious depression. But that's been occasional, that's not something that's normal for me.
Okay. All right. I'm writing falling into depression. I'm abbreviating. Okay. So the result is that you define yourself by your weight.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what's happening. You are defining yourself by your weight. Okay.
Okay.
There's your model. Can you see it?
Yes.
All right. And I put that your C is your self image,
mm-hmm.
how you see yourself. Okay. So what you're doing here is you're focused on how much you weigh and you're comparing. Action line should probably have compare in it.
Okay.
To others, right?
Mm-hmm.
And coming up short, whether it's.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's true or not. Okay. So you know you don't like being defined by your weight. You didn't like it when your mom did it.
Oh gosh.
Right?
Right.
Well, you're doing it to yourself too. I bet you don't like that either.
Not at all.
Because that's the world that you're living in, is because you think you are defined by your weight, you're creating that result. You're defining yourself by your weight. How else could you define yourself? Tell me more about Mitzi. How much weight has Mitzi lost?
Mitzi has lost 32 pounds so far.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Are you defining yourself any differently now?
No.
You're not?
No, not that comes to mind.
Okay. Tell me more about Mitzi.
I guess you could say that I've been more outgoing than normal. There's so many different areas of my life that are going really, really well for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for some reason, it's just this one that I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be stuck. And that's why I was just like, I need to do some TDLs. I just didn't know where to start. For example, work has been really, really good. I'm up for several different positions and promotions, things like that. I'm part of an association where they've asked me to lead in certain arenas just because of what I've been able to bring to the table. So there were things that I do that are good.
People who, you know, are thinking of promoting you and asking you to lead, are they defining you by your weight?
Not at all.
No. So your thought is, I'm defined by my weight. That's not true.
Well, right? I mean, intellectually, that wasn't true from the beginning. It's just...
Right. So it's basically just something your brain is throwing at you. Thoughts don't have to always be true or provable. They're just thoughts. Right? And they're optional. You know, everything your brain throws at you is not always going to be the truth. Okay. That's the beautiful thing. Corinne talks about, and she has really hounded me on questioning everything I think. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Right?
Okay.
Well, one of the things you think is I'm defined by my weight. Right?
That's correct. Yes.
Tell me something else you think sometimes that's really a crock.
Okay.
Do you ever think, I'll never get this? I'll never lose this weight. Does that thought ever jump into your mind?
Yes.
And you've lost 32 pounds.
Yeah. And I guess maybe because I have seen that result that I've just been like, please, whatever, I will get there. I may be, you know, slower than a half-dead turtle, but I will get there.
Yeah. But you've had the thought, I'll never lose this weight. Now you know how to answer it with, hey, look, it's coming off. I'll get there, right? It might be slow, but I'm getting there, mm-hmm. right? So you figured out how to answer the one that's not the truth.
Okay.
So how can you answer, I'm defined by my weight?
Maybe.
If you hear that one come through, how can you say, no, I'm not, because I'm this person?
Well, I guess, like, I really don't sit there and think about who I am and what I want to define myself as. Mm-hmm. And so start there.
Okay, yeah. So your default is, well, we're used to thinking that we're defined by our weight, so we'll just go with that.
Okay.
Right? Are you a wife or a girlfriend or a mom?
I'm a girlfriend.
A teacher, you're a worker. What do you do? You've been asked to lead. You're in this association. Mm-hmm. You have.
I'm an administrative assistant for the Illinois Department of Public Health. And I've actually yesterday I went to test for the forensic scientist trainee program. And I did really, really well. I've been asked to interview for that. So that's one of the promotions that I may be going towards. And, you know, in the association, it's with the Illinois Association of Hispanic State Employees. They actually recruited me to be on the board of directors. So I'm kind of like, okay, I've never done that before, but that's okay. And they've asked
me. Let's talk about those people that recruited you to be on the board of directors. What do you think, if you could get into their heads, what do you think they're defining you by?
My ability. What,
yeah. That's a whole lot better than defining you by your weight,
definitely.
Right? So what abilities do you have that drew you to these people to say, we want Mitzi on our board?
Well, I'm definitely very organized.
Okay.
Super, super organized.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep things on track. So when it comes to my schedule and stuff, mm-hmm. if it's not on the books, it's got to wait for another day. Or we have to plan it so that everything can get the appropriate time, things like of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're organized. You're very managed. You're well managed. You're articulate. It sounds like you're defined by a whole lot more than your weight. I think that's just the practice thought. I think that's the one that's just been in there for a little bit. May go back to, 10. It may not. I don't know. But it's just that. It's just the one that you've practiced long enough. It's just that C4 out of the jukebox. Let's pull that one and let her play that one over and over because that's the one she knows.
Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, it's somewhere to start, which is what I was looking for. So mm-hmm. thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope that's helpful.
It is. It definitely is. So I'm going to be doing some of those and then sharing them with my accountability group because we really do keep each other accountable for all kinds of things. So
that's awesome. I'm glad. I really like hearing when there's really great groups out there that are working together. Good deal.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Carolyn, you're next. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I am okay. How are you?
I'm good.
So I'd like to talk. So we've talked before about my work and my thoughts around my work.
Mm-hmm.
We're still struggling with that.
Okay.
Today I had an overeat.
Okay.
And I realized it's because I tried to respond to someone's thoughts about me.
Okay, tell me more about that.
So last week we had our reviews and my boss says, I'm doing really great. He wants to promote me. However, my director does not.
Okay.
My director claims I am too emotional.
Okay. I would be out of a job there. Kathy cries all the time.
So I did a CDL on this and I came to realize, all right, I've had one meltdown in his presence in the last year. There was one meltdown.
Okay.
I struggle with my own thoughts that I perceive my director as unrealistic. Mm-hmm. So I know that's my own thought and I have to work on it. But I'm really struggling with his views of me as emotional.
Okay.
So I will say I've had a couple hot-headed discussions with him
mm-hmm.
only because he's ignored my problems for months on end.
Okay.
When I've asked for help. So today, instead of trying to ask for help, I kind of just swallowed it and said, I'll ask for help in a different way from somebody else. And it didn't feel good to me.
Okay.
So
why not? Why didn't it feel good?
I felt dismissed. Even though I did it to myself, I felt like the only way not to be viewed as emotional is to swallow it and be dismissed.
Okay. So you weren't dismissed. You took yourself out of that realm. You dismissed yourself, basically. You separated yourself from that. Right?
Very correct. Very correct.
Okay. So that was your choice, not his. You could have gone back to him and asked for help.
He doesn't seem to like that. He doesn't seem to like me asking for help. He wants to focus on what he deems to be larger problems.
Okay.
Which I also struggle with. So I'm actually a safety engineer. I design seatbelts and airbags.
Mm-hmm.
I feel any problem we have is a large problem because of what we design.
Right.
So yeah. I think I have to work on changing that thought, but at the same time, that doesn't feel right to me because I have lives in my hands.
Okay. So what's wrong? If this is what you think you should do, is to go to him with problems, what's wrong with doing that? Has he told you to go to someone else with problems, or has he just said, Carolyn, you're a little emotional, you're a little on the emotional side?
So he hasn't told me I'm overly emotional. He just sort of dismissed it and said, I don't have time for this.
Okay.
But he told my boss, who I have a really good relationship with my boss. We have a very open communication.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss has said, he thinks you're too emotional for that role yet, for right now.
Okay.
And that is, it's hard for me because I've tried to be presented as professional, but at the same time still elevate the problem to what I feel is the proper level.
And do you think you're doing the right thing?
I do.
I don't know what the problem is. You can't control anything about what this man says, does, thinks, feels, anything. He gets to have an opinion. He gets to have an opinion about everybody in your agency that works for him. Just like you have an opinion about him. Somebody in the chat has an opinion about him. Okay?
I haven't seen it, so.
Well, it just talks about going to HR, but we're not going to go there because that's unimportant. He gets to have an opinion about you. He's been around for a long time. He gets to decide who's in what role because he's the boss, right?
And so in my TDL, one of the other girls, I threw my TDL up in Facebook. I just threw it up there for all to see.
Okay.
And somebody else pulled out of it that it's not just his thoughts that are bothering me. It's who he promoted over me is also bothering me.
Oh.
So he
so
promoted.
So you have thoughts about him and about the person he promoted.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I've worked with these people for 5 years now. I've worked side by side with the engineer that he promoted over me. The engineer he promoted to the lead position does not teach. He was assigned to teach me. He did not teach me. I had to go find other teachers.
Okay.
He's very good at pushing work off onto me.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I attempted to resist and push back, whereas a different set of managers called me terse and abrasive when provoked, when I pushed back on not doing the work he wanted me to do. That was his work.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to balance that, I'm really having a hard time with that because I feel like if I advocate for myself, I get smacked down through their thoughts, which I guess is one of my thoughts as well.
Yeah, it's a big one. I get smacked down through their thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
But I don't know how to climb this ladder if it seems like everything I do.
Why don't we just boil it down to this? When you go to work, what thoughts do you bring into work? When you go to work in the morning, do you go to work going, oh God, here comes another day, I'm going to get the smack down? Or do you go into work going,
I want to do the best. I want to make safe products. I want to save lives. Mm-hmm. That's where I ultimately start every day.
Okay. And in going to this director or manager, whoever he is, and doing all your work, that's the thought that you keep in mind.
That is.
Other than when you're judging all of his thoughts, right?
Yeah. Yes. Because that's the thing, is like I want to bring him this problem because it's a problem I'm not allowed to fix. This is a product that is a core product.
And is that how the work is supposed to be done? You're supposed to bring it to him if it's a problem that you're. So I still don't see the problem.
This is my problem as well. He doesn't like me bringing him things.
That's your thought.
Even when he says I don't have time for you, this isn't important. I have a bigger problem to deal with.
Maybe for that particular instance, he didn't want that particular thing. But when you say he doesn't like me talking to him, that's a very broad-ranging thought. And it's a judgment that you have about him when he said one time, I've got something else I need to be dealing with right now, Carolyn. This is not as important as what I need to deal with right now.
So Kathy, this has been going on for 9 months repetitively. That's where I'm really having a hard time with it now.
Okay. So what's your next step? If you're having a hard time with this, what's your next step?
So I've started just trying to fix the thing I'm not supposed to fix by myself. And I foresee myself getting in trouble, but I don't know what else to do.
Okay. I can't advise you here. If you're doing what you think you need to be doing, all I want is for your brain to know that you're doing the right thing, to be confident that you're doing the right thing. If the right thing is to keep knocking on his door and saying, look, I've got another problem, then that's what you need to be doing. But if your brain is saying, he's not the way I need to go, I need to just take care of this, I need to go this other way, then you try the other way. If you find out that's not the one, then you figure out another way. It's just like weight loss, right? I'm going to lose weight eating pizza every day. Well, that didn't work. So I'm going to lose weight eating salads every day. Let's try this avenue. Well, I don't like salads. Okay, how about chicken and broccoli? Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same thing. You're going to have to navigate this knowing that you're doing the best you can to get the problem fixed.
That's what I think I'm doing. I guess we just keep chugging along and trying to manage my thoughts about him.
Yeah, I'd get out of his head. I get him out of your model. Keep yourself in your model. Your model is all about him. Your result line is all like, you know, I went and talked to him. He kicked me out of his office. He can't be in your result line. Okay. Just remember your models are about you and how you show up. He's got his own set of models running. He's got his own set of thoughts and results that he's creating. Okay. You have to keep yours nice and clean and about you to know that you're showing up in the best way that you can.
Thank you, Kathy.
The more you show up, the more you up-level your thinking and your feelings and the way you react at work, the better off you're going to be. Doesn't matter what he's thinking and doing. Ultimately. I mean, it does when it comes to promotions, but you know what I mean. He's watching everything. That makes sense.
It does. Thank you.
Is that really helpful? Or are you like, I'm done with this call?
No, it is helpful. I didn't realize I was so far in his brain.
Yeah, like, you are.
Like my model was that he said I was too emotional. My thought was, so this is my unintentional. My thought was, well, I've done the best I can. And I was frustrated. So frustrated with the feeling. I felt overlooked. My action was obviously eat my feelings. Mm-hmm. So when I went to the intentional side, I had troubles finding a better thought to practice. Mm-hmm. My feeling I want to have is I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to keep doing the best I can. My action was to find a different way to express my concerns, maybe to a different individual who could talk to him if I'm not being heard. And then I wasn't quite sure what my ladder up thought should be.
I'm open finding ways to communicate with him.
Okay.
Whether it's yourself, email, through another person, whatever it takes. Here's the thing. Here's what I know. There have been times in my time that I've worked with Corinne where I have thought I had the worst problem ever. Oh my gosh, there's this Facebook post and I don't know what to do with it. Or so, you know, something that was just rocking my world. And I elevate it to her and some catastrophic website problem is going on. You know that, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm just using this as hypotheticals, yeah. Okay? My problem to her was teeny tiny, but it was huge to me. When you have that, when you put that perspective on, you know, the problem that you have that's huge to you in compared to whatever else he's dealing with at the moment, you know, he might look at what you've got as something that can wait just a few minutes while he deals with this monstrosity he's got going on, right? And that's what you don't know. Those are the models that you don't know whether or not they're playing, right? Those are the ones that, because you're not in his head, you're only in yours. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Stay out of the food, girl.
I know.
Food's not going to help this.
We're doing better than we have been. We'll put it that way. We're down almost 29.
Awesome. That's so great.
We're at least going in the right direction.
Good deal.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
All right. Hang in there. All right. Laura W. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good. I'm very glad to be here. last time I was on a coaching call, there was so many people that I it was too long. So I'm happy to be here. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm calling in tonight. So I'm an April baby. Mm-hmm. So I have been really working on my four basics. Mm-hmm. And I've done not, I had a very rough start. I actually, I'm kind of towards the end of my weight loss journey. I have 20 pounds to go, and I've struggled with these 20 pounds for years. So I've done them on off thing. Mm-hmm. So, when I started, I immediately gained weight, went up 8 pounds, and then, well, at the height I was at like, no, about 8 pounds. I haven't really come back to, where I started when I joined the tribe. So, during this last few months, really well, and actually just in the last 45 days, 47 days, I really understood the importance of planning, assessing.
Yeah.
And I understood it, but I couldn't execute it. Let's put it that way. I understood it, but I wasn't successful in executing. All right. Okay. So I've executed, I have 47 days of planning and assessing. That was my 60-day goal, is mm-hmm. to get 60 straight days of planning. And that is my goal, only goal. I'm not focused on the weight. I am focusing on my basics. So during the last 45 days, what I've learned is that I'm not really sure I know where my two is.
Okay.
And I'm really struggling with how to find it. And I know this is a pretty common struggle. It's been pretty hard for me to find that. Yeah, to find it. So
is it the plus two or the minus two?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit of both. And I think this is old diet mentality that's coming in. I used to eat by the clock pretty consistently. And so I've had a lot of thoughts, well, it's 12:30, it's time for lunch. And I'm like, well, am I really hungry? And then I sit with that for a while and I play with it. And I'm like, I don't know, I think I'm hungry. Sometimes it's very obvious, like, I'm hungry, I gotta eat. Yeah. But I struggle with the minus two, but I struggle with the plus two probably more than I do the minus two.
Okay. Well, let me tell you a secret about the minus two. This is really earth shattering. If you wonder if you're hungry, you're not hungry.
Yeah. So I've heard you say this before. Yeah. So, but yeah. But then I'm sitting there and then I think my mind is tricking me into thinking that I am hungry. And sometimes I'll wait a half an hour. So when was it last? Oh, I can't remember. Whatever week was on the clock challenge week.
Yeah.
I did the on the clock challenge. I was like, I'm doing this. This is what the challenge is this week. I'm doing this because this will be really good for me. And it was fine. You know, it wasn't like stressful for me. There was nothing, but I still didn't really feel like I got to the point where I know where it is. Yeah. I started in April.
Yeah. Okay. So it takes a bit, it takes a minute. It takes practice. It takes awareness. It takes journaling. What did you, you know, if you were, if you actually, when you thought to yourself, I wonder if I'm hungry. If you journaled exactly what you were feeling in your body, and you did that for, let's say, 15 days, you could go back and you could probably see a variance, right? Well, today I had a stomach growl. Yesterday I had a headache. The day before I had my throat. I feel hungry in my throat. Okay. When you really tune into hunger, you start to notice interesting little things about it. When I'm at minus two or better, it's like my body has all this space inside of it. I can take these really deep cleansing breaths. I can sit up nice and straight. I can, you know, it feels like there's just all kinds of room inside my body because my stomach's empty, right? When you start to really tune into those kinds of things as opposed to a growl or a clock or something like that, then you can really find the minus two. But I promise you, if you're wondering, I wonder if I'm hungry, you ain't hungry. You might be thirsty though. Okay.
That's yeah. I do pretty good with the water. That habit was easy for me to, I was already doing it. So that was something that was one of the four basics that was not a problem for me. So that one, the water, I do drink. And on the clock challenge, I did drink when I thought I was hungry. And it kind of did help. I mean, maybe I just need to keep doing that
too. Yeah, I would. I would practice. It takes practice. You're not going to just listen to the No BS lesson on the hunger scale and go, I got it. Yeah, I know my two. No. Right?
Yeah. I've listened to it a couple of times actually, because I was like, I think I'm missing the point here.
And I think there's a hunger scale portion of the deep dive into the four basics course as well.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Okay. And I think the tribe may be all doing that together next month, you know, after
time. Oh, that would be good.
So we'd be talking a lot about that. As far as plus two goes, that's another place where you want to experiment. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I give that this, people on this call have probably heard this 100 times, but I give out this suggestion a lot. Mm-hmm. Serve yourself up your meal. I do it at dinner time because that's when I have the most quiet time. You know, I'm not working mm-hmm. or anything like that. Eat half of it and wait for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And journal back to all the physical feelings in your body. Mm-hmm. If you don't think you're at plus two yet, if you think there's still space to eat or whatever, eat half again as much and wait mm-hmm. 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Takes about that 10 or 15 minutes for the food that you swallow to hit your stomach. So if you're actually going past plus two each night, you might be stopping when you think you're at plus two and your food hasn't all gone down. You might want to stop when you're at plus one and right. wait for a minute to see. That's why you wait for that 10 minutes. To see if everything's hit your stomach. And you just keep doing that, you know, half again as much, wait 10 minutes, half again as much, wait 10 minutes, and you journal about it. And you do that one repetitively as well.
Okay.
And that helps you find
that.
Things to look for, interesting things to look for that might not be physical symptoms at plus two are distractions. If you find yourself reaching for the phone or...
Yeah.
You know, thinking about something else. I'll tell you, I have, there's a voice in my head that says, I wonder if I'm at plus two yet. And I know that's a clue. You know, I think I'm at plus two. Darn it. I think I'm at plus two and there's still half this food here.
Right.
But when
then there's that part to it.
Yeah.
Well, I struggle with a lot and mm-hmm. I've come a long way. So that's good. And I have to appreciate the success I have had. But when I started, I think probably, I can't remember. It was shortly after the April opening was, there was the Hunger Challenge week and mm-hmm. the week where we had to throw away half, or the day that we had to throw half mm-hmm. food. That I was like, everything happened. Like it was not happening. So I have been working on that. And I can successfully say I can now throw food away. Mm-hmm. That took a lot of work. But
for those
sometimes
of us who grew up in the era where you cleaned your plate.
Yes.
Or
absolutely.
You didn't get to leave the table until you were finished and all that kind of stuff. That's just practiced habit thoughts that we just have to reprogram. And it's not, you know, when you start to realize that eating it is as bad as throwing it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like,
right,
my body doesn't need it. I don't need it extra on my hips. I got enough there.
Right.
So let's put it in the trash since my body doesn't need it. When you can wrap your brain around that, then it makes a whole lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that the journaling when I'm at the negative two is a good, that I'm absolutely going to do. And I think doing the on the clock challenge for another week will probably do me really good.
Yeah.
But the half as much mm-hmm. plan at dinner will help me kind of figure it out. Cause I think I definitely struggle.
Listen for that voice. Listen for that little suggestion in your head that says, wonder, do you think we're at plus two? I bet you've got it. Mm-hmm. And I bet you just mm-hmm. have been going like, nope, not yet. Still got food.
Yeah. No. Yes, I know I have it. Now that you've pointed it out, I know I have it.
Yeah.
So it's happening.
Yeah.
And I just definitely look at my plate and go, no, but there's a lot of food left and I want that last few bites or I would like to eat that or whatever. And so that, I think that the pacing of a meal to not reach your plus two so that you can have something that you really want, that you have planned. But yeah, so yeah, I'm not listening.
A lot of us don't. I really think people think I'm crazy when I first talk about that voice, but it's really there. I believe it's really there. And you just acknowledged it. So I'm going to say, look, Laura said it was there too. Yeah.
I know it's there because I have heard it. And I just go, no, I'm not there yet. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
So, yes.
My answer that I always fight with is, I still have food. It can't be time yet. There's still food here.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I struggle with that a lot at events. I'm a director, so I'm at a lot of events and I'm doing this stuff. And so when I go to these events, I really struggle with that. And I have to really stop myself.
You should also tell yourself that you don't use the word struggle anymore.
Yeah. I know.
That word just really sets our brains to thinking something is really hard. And when it boils down to it, it's not hard unless we decide it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not a struggle unless we decide it is. You hear the voice, you push away the plate. It's two simple little actions that we've decided suck.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it does suck, but
that's the choice we're making. It could be, look at me, I'm proud, rather than, man, this sucks. You know, it's just optional thought that we've applied to pushing the food away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not a fact that it sucks. No. It's a thought. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide what I would say instead of struggle. I'm figuring this out. Yeah.
I'm figuring this out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That sounds a whole lot
I do
lot
that
better.
A lot in my assessments, like on the Hello scale. Mm-hmm. When things are, you know, I have kind of coming down from the 8 that I've gained, but I've stabilized. I'm not going up like I was. And so I keep saying I'm figuring it out as my, you know, what do I want to learn from this?
Yeah. Well, that sounds so much more empowering and so much more.
Yes, it is.
So much stronger than saying I'm really struggling with this. If you're saying I'm figuring this out, it still implies that you don't have it yet. But it's okay, mm-hmm. right? Because you're mm-hmm. working on it. You know, you figure it out. Everybody's mm-hmm. different, so I can't give you the perfect recipe. That's something you have to determine for yourself.
Right.
That's what you're doing every day, that you keep working on it. You're figuring it out.
Figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's been a very powerful thought for me multiple times. And yeah, that's what I need to switch that with.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. That's all I needed to talk about tonight.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Have a good night.
See ya. Laura. Next, Laura. Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Good. So I've got got a situation where I've done really well with not overeating, not binging, I should say. Okay. But what I'm doing is I'm spending way too much money. So I tried to do a model on it yesterday, and I'm having a hard time coming up. So my thought was, I always switch addictions. So if I'm not eating, I'm spending. If I'm not, when I cleaned 30 years ago, I started, that's when I gained a lot of my weight. So I switched addictions. I went from whatever I was doing to food. So now mm-hmm. I'm at a point where I'm really working this program, but it's like I'm just spending money like I've got it.
What are you avoiding?
I don't know. I'm not allowed to say that, but.
That's what you're doing. You're buffering. When did you start, Laura?
June.
In June. Okay. Do you know the term buffering?
I keep hearing it, but I don't really know what it means.
That means that you are doing some action. In this case, spending. Could be eating. Could be porn. Could be watching TV. Could be, you know, whatever. because you don't want to feel something. Okay. So let's say every time your boss yells at you, you go to the candy bowl. All right. That's because you don't want to feel the shame of your boss yelling at you or the embarrassment of your boss yelling at you. You just get mad, go to the candy bowl. So you don't process it. You don't think about it. You don't resolve it. You don't talk back to the boss. You don't do anything. You just plug that hole with the candy bowl. So what you're doing is you're plugging the hole with spending. Okay?
Okay.
So what are you not wanting to feel? That's the question for you.
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot going on with my son. He just turned 18. He's acting like an 18-year-old and doing a bunch of stuff he shouldn't be doing. But he's going to be okay. He's also got an eating disorder and I don't know if he's eating right now. I talked to him about it today, and he said it's just easier not to eat because I don't have to worry about spending money, or I have to worry about what I'm going to eat. It's easier for me to not eat, Mom.
Okay.
I'm like, well, that makes sense, but.
So when he says that and you feel the fear, you go shopping? Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's conscious like that.
Yeah, but that's what's happening. He says that, you feel fear for him, and you spend money, or you eat, or you watch TV, or whatever it is, because you don't want to think about him because it's scaring you.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. So when you take away the spending, or the eating, or the porn, or the Netflix, then you have the feeling left, right? You have the fear, and I guess that's what it is, right? Terrified. That's your feeling. Yeah. That's what you said. You have the terrified left, and you don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to feel it and be okay.
I don't know what to do about it.
What if you can't do anything about it?
Can't do anything.
Right. So tell me how shopping resolves it.
I listened to a girl earlier where it takes me out of myself.
Yeah, it doesn't resolve it, though. It takes you out of yourself, but it doesn't fix. What's his name?
Daniel.
It doesn't help Daniel at all. In fact, it separates you from Daniel. Right? Mm-hmm. He's over here being his 18-year-old self, doing his thing, not doing some things. And you have put this wall up between the two of you all called spending. That's separating the two of you so that you don't have to think, feel, love, support, get angry. You don't have to do any of those things with Daniel. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've quit buying snacks because I don't snack anymore. So then I'm really freaked out because I don't know what he's eating because there's no snacks, right? So, so there's a lot of loss of control, a lot of fear. And, you know, of course, a lot of love. I love him so much and he's killing himself. But I can't do anything.
You say you can't do anything about it. Is that true?
I've done so much. And he pushes back and he yells at me. And I know it's his eating disorder. He throws a fit and tells me he's doing better and, you know, tells me what he's eating. He tells me what I want to hear.
Okay.
So, and he's 18. I can't throw him into treatment.
He's telling you things. You're shopping.
That's awesome.
It's allowed you to disconnect from him.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what you really want? Do you want to be disconnected from him?
No. I want him back the way he was when he was 12.
But you can't do that for him. All right. He is 18 years old and making his decisions about everything. Okay. But that doesn't mean you have to be disconnected. I'm not telling you have to run his life. Okay. All right, Daniel, you're going to eat this. You're going to go to school. We're going to go to the doctor. You can't do any of that. All you can do is be there for him and connect with him and allow him to be him with his mom present, not shopping or eating. Right? Okay. I guess he lives with you, right? Because you talked about sex in the house. Okay?
Yes. So
when you're in your office or bedroom or wherever you are and you're online and you're shopping, you're disconnected. You could just hang out. Let him know you're there and you love him. And hey, here I am. Mm-hmm. What can I do? What do you want to do? How about a pizza? You know, I don't know.
<You know>?
But that's what a buffer does. It allows you, to disconnect. And when it's used in that way, it's not the kind of disconnect that you want. It allows you to disappear from and disconnect from whatever is bothering you.
Exactly. Okay?
Your work is to actually feel that fear and understand that that's your mama's love for him, right? And that's what all moms feel for their kids is fear at some point as they grow up and they start to make these decisions on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And love him through that fear and connect with him and support him through that fear. Because that's just part of being a mom, right? Fearing for your kids and their well-being is part of being a mom.
It is.
You know, you wouldn't have this fear for him if you didn't love him so much. You'd be like, I don't care if you eat or not, Daniel. I don't like you anyway. Right?
right. So.
But that's so essentially what you're doing when you're shopping. You're like, peace out. Take care of yourself. I'm going shopping.
So my motto shouldn't be on shopping. My motto should be on my fear.
Yes.
Of him. Yes. And letting go of that.
Or working through it. And I don't know that you ever let go of fear for your kids. Okay. I mean, I have two great kids who are married and working and productive citizens. That doesn't mean I still don't worry about them sometimes. It's part of being a mom, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you need to embrace that part of being a mom and feel all the feels it takes to be a mom, to be the connected, supportive mom that you want to be right now.
Scary.
Part of it. It's what we signed up for when we birthed those babies, girl.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Okay, so I'll work on modeling about my relationship with him. Should I do the relationship course or buffering and urges?
I want you to do buffering first. Do buffering and urges first. And then relationships would probably be a good place for you to go. But I want you to really understand what you're doing with the shopping. You know, I explained it pretty well, but Corinne, again, will explain it. She'll explain it in a little bit different way that may even mean more to you in that course. So at least watch the workshop on that course, and then you can move on over to relationships.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take
care.
Have a good day. You too. Bye. Bye-bye. Carol, you're next. Making a note. Carol?
I am trying to unmute.
No, I hear you. I just can't. Yeah, I don't know what I'm looking at, though.
Oh, shoot. I always do this. Okay, wait.
There it is. That's hilarious.
Okay, because I have a larger screen that my laptop's connected to. So I just lower my laptop screen.
Okay. I was like, I'm not sure what this
is. There you go. Hi. Okay.
All right. So what's up?
Well, okay. So honestly, I feel like I am getting in a better place than I've been in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. My weight loss has been very slow.
Okay.
Which is fine. I'm totally fine with it, you know, slowly but surely, you know, releasing the weight. Mm-hmm. I find that probably like a lot of people, I flow in and out of, you know, the phase two, phase three, you know, that sort of thing. But it seems that there is a trigger that makes me get into this phase two. And that's what I'm concerned wanting to talk about. I find that I am a, okay, a little bit of the family dynamics. My mother is going to be 91. And she, and I'm her only daughter. She has two sons that are 16 and 19 years older than me. One lives in Texas. The other one lives around the corner and works in the family business and basically never sees her because his excuse is, I don't have time. So it's all kind of like put on me that I have to make sure she's okay and taken care of. And she does have a caregiver that's there. But it's basically all placed on me. And anytime I do something, she, it never seems to be good enough. And so I feel guilty about it. So I feel like I'm always like trying to please her and it's never good enough. The other thing, so that's definitely a big trigger. And my one brother that lives literally around the corner never thinks I'm doing enough either. Okay. He's very like judgmental and he'll say things to me like that. And then there's the other part where, so I kind of grew up alone, right? Because my brothers were out of the house. And my mom and dad got divorced when I was three. So I wanted to have a large family, and I do. I have five wonderful children. I have just one last one that's a senior this year. My husband and I are happily married. But I find that what I'm always doing is I'm wanting to make sure that everyone else is taken care of, and I'm like last on the totem pole. I feel like I'm too much of a people pleaser and I feel guilty all the time. And so like, it'll come down to, here's like an example. My husband, Jeff, he had his friend and his son come to the house to stay the night one night. Jeff was like, hey, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. The friend said, hey, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And this boy who's 17 years old is not tired. So what do? I I'm tired too, but I feel bad being like kind of the host of the home, just leaving him. So I'm like, hey, you want to watch Netflix? So we turn on Netflix. And then I'm like, do you want a snack? And he's like, yeah, I'd like a snack. So I get out like three variety, sweet, salty, whatever, you know. And he's just sitting there and I'm like, I'm going to eat. I'm going to take a bite so he'll feel comfortable taking a bite because it's just sitting there and nothing happens. So I take a bite. And as soon as I take a bite, certainly he takes a bite. So I didn't even want it, but to please him, to make him comfortable, I take something. And it's like that all the time. My husband, he'll bring home a donut. Okay. And it's like, oh, these special big donuts. And well, I brought it for you. Okay. Then I eat it to make him happy. I'm always trying to make, I just feel like I've got a problem. I feel bad if I don't make them feel happy. And
do you really believe you can make someone feel happy?
Well, they seem happier when I do it.
It's because they have a thought that, Oh, look, I've made Carol happy. I'm happy. She ate the donut. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Or, look, the cabinets are white. I'm happy. You don't know what they're thinking. But your eating doesn't make them happy. They have a thought that makes them happy. Think about the model.
Then aren't I creating the thought?
No, you don't create their thoughts. They create their thoughts. Do they create your thoughts? Or are they just all appear in your head?
I don't know.
No. You are 100% the creator of your thoughts. They are 100% the creator of theirs.
But what do I do when...
Let me tell you, have you heard Corinne talk about, we'll talk about your mom in a minute. Let's talk about people pleasing.
Okay.
You heard Corinne talk about people pleasing?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah. You know why she got good at coaching people pleasers? This girl. I was a queen people pleaser.
You're a people pleaser.
Top of the line people pleaser.
Oh my gosh.
Top of the line. Same place as you. So what she taught me was that people pleasers are manipulators. Here, if I do this, they'll do that, and then I'll feel good about it because I got done what I needed to get done. Not only do they get to do what they get to do, I get the kickback because I feel good about myself. All the while, I really didn't want to do that thing anyway, so I'm sitting here going, I got them to do what they want, what I wanted them to do, but I really didn't want to do that, so now I'm mad too.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Right.
And I get mad at myself.
I get mad at my husband. Really? Couldn't you assume that that's not really what I wanted to do, even though I said that's what I wanted to do? It's crazy. People pleasers are nothing but manipulators, and they're not being true to themselves or to the other person.
So what do? You just go straight out and say,
I'm going to bed because this is what I want.
Feelings.
Yeah. Well, with the case of this 17-year-old,
yeah,
I would have said, yo, help yourself to the kitchen. Here's everything there is. There's Netflix. See you in the morning. Instead, you stayed up later than you wanted to stay, hoping you would be able to manipulate him into liking you. And you had something to eat that you didn't want, hoping to manipulate him into eating. Maybe he didn't want to eat. Maybe he was just being nice too. Here's the thing.
Honestly, I don't feel like I did it for him to like me. I did it so he would be comfortable.
But you can't create that either. Maybe being up with this lady he didn't know made him super uncomfortable.
Yeah, he might have been more comfortable
right?
left, huh?
We just don't know because we can't see in his head because he creates his thoughts. Here's the thing about people pleasers. People pleasers have an agenda. People pleasers want you to feel a certain way. They want you to like them. They want you to be comfortable. They want you to be happy. They want you to be whatever. Okay? That's how you know you're a people pleaser because you got an agenda.
I'm very much that way.
Right. If, however, you are a person that just likes to do things for people without an agenda, that's okay. Being someone who loves to serve, someone who loves to do things for other people, someone who just gets a real jolly out of being that guy that, you know, does the things, that's okay. As long as you're not looking for the kickback of the feel-good agenda.
So with like this boy, mm-hmm. If I had done that and not eaten, would that have been, because I wanted to make him feel comfortable. See, I mean, is it when I sabotage myself mm-hmm. that it makes me not?
Yeah, because that's essentially what you did. You did something you didn't want to do and you ate. You stayed up when you wanted to go to bed and you ate on top of it. Mm-hmm. You could have just said, dude, here's the kitchen, get comfortable, and left. Then he gets to decide if he's going to go through the kitchen or not.
Okay, so this is where my mother's upbringing comes in. And she would be like, no, you never leave your guests alone. And I have her little, mm-hmm. you know, words in, and I want to be the proper, nice host. So I would not leave anyone until they went to bed.
Okay. So your mother has an opinion.
Yes. And it's like instilled in me. So
no,
I do.
You get to decide. You get, if you want to have that opinion, you can, but it doesn't make it the facts of the world because your mother taught it to you. You get to decide. You have free will.
Like it's so ingrained. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't leave anyone alone like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I need to try to figure out if that's me or if that's my mom.
Yeah. If it's... Lara says, I promise you I'd rather be left alone. She and the 17-year-old boy might be on the same path. I don't know. But okay. But that's the point, okay? Just remember, you can't make someone else feel something. You can offer your home and your food and your comfort and all that. They feel what they want to feel, okay? You can't manipulate them, convince them to feel a certain way.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, about your mom. You're full of thoughts about your mom. This never good enough thing, that's all your thought.
I have so many problems with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example of something that I'm going through right now. And my Marco Polo girls, hello, you know me. let's see. You know what I'm going to say too. Okay, so my mom's having her 91st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always comes, and I don't even remember the last time I missed her birthday, okay. September 7th.
Okay.
And I mean, like, my brother flies out from Dallas and everything, mm-hmm. right? And I found out that my nephew on my husband's side is getting married on that same day in Utah.
Okay.
And we've decided to go. Because mm-hmm. I know she's 91, but I've celebrated every single birthday, and I can still celebrate a couple days beforehand, which is okay. what we decided to do.
Okay.
So then it came time for me to tell her. And when I told her, she was just like, no, you can't do that. You have to be with me. Everyone's here for my birthday. And then it was just kind of like, we didn't talk mm-hmm. about it anymore. And then mm-hmm. a couple of later, she acted like she didn't know about it and was mm-hmm. like, I'm hoping that everyone in your family is coming to the party and Dean's made reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mom, you know, I'm going to my nephew's wedding, mm-hmm. but we're going to celebrate on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I think it's very rude of his mother to plan his wedding on my birthday.
Okay.
What is she thinking? I mean, and then she
gets to think what she wants to think. She's a grown up. She's a person. She gets to think that.
Is that like the most ridiculous thing? I mean,
that's your thought about her thought. You could also think, she's right. She's going to be 91 years old. Nobody ought to plan anything on her birthday. That's your thought about her thought. That's your judgment of her thought. That is ridiculous.
Okay.
So she gets to think what she wants to think. You get to think what you want to think. They don't have to agree.
I don't know how to deal with her, though. I don't know what to say because she's very unhappy with the situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to deal with it. She keeps refusing. She thinks I'm going to change my mind. She's like, well, maybe their wedding will get canceled. I mean,
okay. She was like, and what do you think?
It won't even please her if our whole family is getting together. My, uh-huh. my family 3 days before, you know, it's like not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, go away. That's my daughter. Go away. I'm on a coaching call. Hi. Okay. Sorry.
So what do you think I'm going to tell you about this?
I have to disappoint my 91-year-old mother.
No, I'm not going to tell you have to disappoint your 91-year-old mother. What am I going to tell you?
Her. I am disappointing her. I don't know what to
That's
do.
Your thought. That's your thought. Unless she said, Carol, you're disappointing me. We can't put that. The only place that goes is in the thought line. If mom said, Carol, you're disappointing me, we could put that in the C line and then you'd have a thought about it. But if she hasn't said it, it's all your thought.
Well, she's all but said it. I mean,
well, she hasn't said it. And even if she does, you still have a thought about it. What's a thought? Let's say she said it. What's your thought?
There I go disappointing her again.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever.
I'll never get it right. I'm just a big disappointment. She hates me. All those things. Thoughts. Thoughts, thoughts, thoughts. All of them.
And you know what she else she said in that conversation? She said, well, I guess you'll do what you have to do and I'll just do what I have to do.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's like, can she lay on the guilt anymore?
So she's making me feel guilty.
Very.
Is the thought. Or actually, that goes in the feeling line. The thought is, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing this well enough. I can't make my own decisions. Guilty. Guilty is the feeling. And so when you aren't feel guilty, what do you do?
Well,
what's your action?
Right now, what I've been doing is I've been avoiding her. I haven't seen her in over a week, and usually I see her at least 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Didn't call her for several days. Now I'm at least calling her again.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever give in when you feel guilty?
I feel guilty because I don't come.
Do you ever give in when you feel guilty?
Like, how do you give in when you feel guilty? Like,
you should have done this for me, you know, and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. And like, for instance, I was telling my husband all of this. He heard part of it, but going through all of it again with him, he's like, well, hon, if you really want to stay home, you can stay home. And then I was like, no, because then that's giving in to her.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's a 91-year-old woman. What am I?
So we're back to people pleasing. You know that, right?
Oh, crap.
You know why we're back to people pleasing? Because you just want her to be happy.
I do. I want her to be happy.
And she is showing you that you can't make her happy.
She's choosing to not be happy, right?
Right. That's all her. You could show up with bells on. She's still going to be pissed off, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Right?
About this, she will. She will continue to talk about it.
We are back to... Carol can't make someone happy. It's all up to them. But what Carol can do is make herself happy or content or at peace or calm or whatever feeling you want to generate, you can generate with whatever you're thinking in your head. Even if your mother is on a rampage, you can still choose calm, collected, content, decisive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can. I have to just, I feel like I do that better when I'm away from her, though.
You just need to practice. This doesn't have anything to do with stage 2 and stage 3, by the way. What it has to do with is mind management. When you put yourself in this people-pleasing role, you have the urges to eat because you can't make people happy.
That's the other thing I haven't even gotten to.
That's what, but that's all that's happening in that people pleasing model.
Okay, so it's not
insert anybody you're trying to people please. You're going to eat either to get them to eat or because you can't make them happy. It's going to stress you out enough to eat.
Yeah, that's what my accountability partner said. Is that I ate the chocolate cake that night because I was stressing over that too.
Mm-hmm. And you're stressing over it because you couldn't make her happy or him happy or whoever you're trying to manipulate in the moment. You're going to hear that in your head now, aren't you? I'm just manipulating them. That's no good.
But I still don't know what to do. I mean, when she says stuff like that, how do I come back? What do I say to her? Do I say, sorry, I'm not making you happy.
You have to decide that. You have to decide how you're going to show up with her, whether it's argue with her, reason with her, ignore her. You decide that every single day when you get up.
What if I say to her, Mom, when you act like this, it makes me not want to be with you? If I tell her exactly how I honestly feel.
What if you do?
She'll, not be happy with me again. Mm-hmm. Honestly, she's gotten to be just this kind of older, cranky, you know, mm-hmm. woman. But I love her and I want to be there for her, but it makes me not want to be there. And I feel...
That's because of the thought you have in your head, because you can't make her happy. You can want to be with her every single day and accept her for who she is. But you're stuck on, I just want her to be happy. That's why you do so much. And that's why you get so frustrated and you back off, because you don't realize yet that you can't make her happy. She has to do that all on her own. She's just choosing not to.
Should I ask her what is going to make you happy?
No, because she's going to give you a list of things you need to do, and it's not going to work. Because what makes your mom happy?
Well, I know if I stayed for the thing, it would make her happy.
No, you're missing it. Happy is a feeling. What creates a feeling?
Your thoughts.
A thought. The only thing that will make your mother happy is a thought your mother has.
So she could be happy if I go or if I don't go.
If she chose to.
So I have no control over her thoughts.
Correct.
I have control over my thoughts.
Correct.
So I should just... tell her.
Just knowing that, taking ownership over the fact that you control your thoughts and she controls hers helps you decide how you're going to show up the next time you see her.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Then you decide whether you say what Laura suggests here, I'm sorry you're choosing to feel that way, or it's just not going to work out.
Okay.
This is what I have planned for you. If, you know, This is what I got, Mom.
So, for instance, I can just say, Mom, we're doing the best we can. We're going to have a birthday party for you on Tuesday instead. Would you like to come to that?
Yeah. How does that make you feel? When you have all that in your thought mind, how does that make you feel?
More in control. Mm-hmm. And like... I'm being proactive in the situation instead mm-hmm. of a victim, which I yeah. tend to become the victim a lot, which is another yeah. one of my issues.
Yeah. You're the victim because you're not taking ownership of your own thoughts. That's why. That's the only reason. That's what victims do. They blame. You're blaming your mom for your unhappiness when you're creating it all. Yeah. When you're creating it all yourself.
Man, I got problems. Okay.
No, you don't. You've just got opened eyes. That's all.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay. All right.
Got a good place to start there, girl.
Okay. That did help me. I got to do some TDLing, I think.
Yeah. Probably need to listen to this again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will. And, can I just say a shout out to my
sure.
girls? Okay. All right. Queen Bees, hi. And Girls on Fire, hi. I'm in two groups. I love so. It.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
I love it. All right. You take care.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Amanda, you're next. And then whoever Eminem is will be after that.
Did it work?
Yep. Hi.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
This is funny. I started crying just a few minutes ago because I was writing down what I was going to talk about. And I was texting one of my Marco Polo girls. I was like, I'm already crying and I'm not even on the call yet.
Great. I don't get to take credit for that cry then.
So mine has to deal with relationships and dating.
Okay.
So I dated a fella for a year, and this was actually like 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And we dated for a year. There was talks of marriage. There were talks of kids. He met my family. It was pretty serious. And then all of a sudden he ghosted me one day.
Okay.
Meaning all communication stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk to him at all. I couldn't get a hold of him. I thought something happened. Went to his house. He was there. He just didn't want to see me anymore. It basically almost felt like he died.
Uh-huh.
Because it was just like immediate cutoff, right?
Sure.
And like, come to find out, he was seeing someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I was devastated and I was depressed for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like it, but I have worked through it. And I started dating other people afterwards, but I wouldn't let myself invest emotionally. And one of my really good friends, she told me to join PNP to work on my mental bullshit. And so I joined PNP. I did a lot of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of self-love. I read a boatload of books, all occurrence books. I started working out again. I lost a lot of my mental baggage in other areas of my life. And I lost 25 pounds. I still have a whole bunch to go, but I'm feeling good about myself and where I'm at. So I decided to try and give dating another opportunity, another chance. Okay. And I put myself out on this dating website recently and I met this guy and he seems so great. He really does. He's older than me. He's 5 years older. I'm 34. He's 39. He has his life together. He thinks that he doesn't, but he does. He's been married before. He has two kids. He was married for 12 years. He's been divorced for 2 years. And I really enjoy spending time with him. We're getting to know each other. We're taking things slow. But I find myself looking for red flags to like sabotage him. And I'm very aware that I'm doing it. Like, we go and we hang out. We have a great time. I come home and I tell myself, he's too busy. His mom's batshit crazy. There's no way this will work out. He sees his ex-wife every day because they have kids. And, you know, he picks them up for school or soccer practice or what have you. He's very involved in his kid's life, mm-hmm. which I think is great. I don't hold that against him by mm-hmm. any means. He also lives like 45 minutes away, which these are all like red flags that I'm telling myself. So I go and I hang out with him. I have a great time. I come home and I just like all the food just goes in my mouth. I'm like, I'm hungry. And then today I caught myself doing it and I immediately went into my bedroom and I laid down and I wanted to nap. I'm like, I got to stay out of the kitchen. So I don't know how to like put a stop to those thoughts. Like everybody has baggage in their life. And I realized that, but like, how do I make it so that it doesn't affect me? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is this first relationship that ended with the ghosting. You grieved that relationship. There's no doubt that you grieved it. You grieved him. You grieved the relationship. You grieved the comfort you got from it. It's a very normal thing to happen after a breakup. You know, grief is like how your brain separates itself from an emotional tie. Okay. It's like all those stages of grief that you went through. Okay.
Okay.
Totally normal, totally what you did. What your brain is doing now is preventing you from going that deep again because it's afraid of the grief. Okay. That's right. Where the self-sabotage is coming from. It's like, I can't even come up with an example, but that's what it's doing. It's saying, all right, remember we did this with this one guy and it hurt. So maybe we want to just keep this other guy at arm's length. And so we're going to come up with all the reasons why we shouldn't get in there too close because this might happen to us again.
Right.
Okay. So that's why you're not, that's your brain is in self-protection mode. That's why it's, right. You're not investing in it.
And I totally recognize that.
Yeah.
But how do you like knock that wall down?
You know just go to work on it. You just go to work on it. You start to question. It's like, who was I telling about questioning the thoughts? Tell me some of the thoughts you think. His mom's crazy, right?
Oh, his mom was the reason, part of the reason for his last divorce.
Sees his wife every day.
Yep.
What are some of the other reasons it won't work?
He has multiple businesses.
Okay. Multiple businesses.
So he's very busy. He lives 45 minutes away.
Okay. Anything else?
So I'm worried that it's going to be me doing most of the driving and not him,
right?
Because he has all of these other commitments.
Okay. Anything else? Any other reason it won't work?
No.
Okay. So we got four reasons. That's it. Four reasons. Are any,
they're
any
pretty big ones.
But are they insurmountable? If this guy turns out to be the love of your life, you fall in love super deep, he proposes, do you work through these things or are they insurmountable? Are they absolute no's? I'm not marrying you because you see your wife every day. Ex-wife every day. I'm not marrying you because you live 45 minutes away because we won't live together, right?
Right.
Are any of these things insurmountable? In other words, are you telling yourself the truth when you throw up these roadblocks in this relationship? Or are you just throwing them up there as self-preservation because you're afraid to commit?
No, I know that that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because I see, because I really did love that guy that, that hurt me. And so like the way that this one communicates and like, I really, really enjoy spending time with him. And I could see something in the future with him because of that. And I think that that's what makes me like,
okay,
well, it won't work because of this. Well, it won't work because of that.
Let's take a pause here. You just said, I really loved the guy that hurt me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I believe you, but he didn't hurt you. You know how I know that?
How?
Getting my whiteboard out.
Oh, boy.
You know the model? What was his
Not
name?
Not the best.
What was his name?
Shane.
Shane stopped calling. Right?
Right.
You think everybody in the world would agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. And you were hurt. Right?
Yes.
What's missing?
The
thought.
The thought.
Mm-hmm.
My action and my response.
Yeah. The thought is missing between Shane stopped calling and hurt. This could have been relief. Thank God he stopped calling. He was weird. But it wasn't. It was hurt. So why were you hurt? You weren't hurt because he stopped calling. You were hurt because of a thought you had about he stopped calling. What was that?
Because I thought he was the one. I thought that I was going to be with him.
Yeah, I thought he was the one. What did you make it mean about you?
It's kind of interesting because he had really bad depression. And so we had gone through little spurts of this before. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that, like, I thought that it was me, but I can't lie and say that there wasn't, that thought never crossed my mind.
Okay.
You know,
he doesn't want
because
me.
He, right.
That's the thought. Because you told me he ghosted you. When you say he ghosted me, to me, that evokes emotion. Shane stopped calling.
is the C. The thought, can you read it? Mm-hmm. He doesn't want me. Is that what I put? Yeah. Hurt. And your action was cry, eat, withdraw, grieve.
Yep.
And then you disconnected from yourself in the result line. Right? You didn't. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Right? So just remember, you had a thought about him stopping calling you. And that's what caused the hurt. Now, what's the new guy's name?
Tony.
Tony. Let's put Tony in your C line. And let's pick up one of your feelings that you have. Wary. How about wary? Is that a good feeling? Unsure?
Unsure would be a good one.
Okay. So why are you unsure about Tony?
Because I don't know about if things will work. I don't have the answer.
I don't have the answers. If you're on this call, raise your hand if you ever have the answer about a relationship. I don't see any hands raised. I don't have the answers. Okay.
It's a gamble. It's a risk. It's a...
Yeah. Aren't all relationships a risk?
Yes, but I just want to know if it'll work.
Yeah, well, sure you do, because you want to protect yourself from this hurt again. But that's just not possible. You can't see the future. I don't know about your crystal ball, but mine doesn't work. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to decide if it's worth the risk to pursue. So when all these mom's crazy, sees wife every day, multiple business and 45 minutes away come up, you have to decide if you really want to spend your emotional energy on those things or if you want to take the risk.
I feel like you have to take the risk because, like, otherwise you don't know. Again, you don't know.
Right. You either take the risk or you sit in self-preservation mode alone.
For a long time. And that would be about, like, a lot of things, too.
Right? Which do you want? Yeah, yeah. Seriously, you can apply this to anything. You can apply it to weight loss, for heaven's sake. I'm going to take the risk and do this hunger scale challenge, or I'm going to sit here and just eat my face off.
Right.
You know, because that's comfortable. I mean, seriously, that's life. Life is a series of decision points when you really don't know what the future holds for you.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So you have some choices to make.
I do. I recognize myself, like, when my thoughts start, you know, turning, and I've been journaling. My Marco Polo gals have been telling me, you know, you're really good at writing. You got to write this down. Write down what you're feeling. And they've told me to get on a dang call, and I haven't. And so tonight I was like, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you did. Is it helpful?
Me too. It was helpful. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
That's enough, right?
Yeah.
Done with you, Kathy.
It's enough for tonight, you guys.
All right.
All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, you guys. There are no hands raised, and I have 10 more minutes. Does anybody want to talk to me? 10 more minutes, no Q&A, no hands raised. Anybody? Oh, Debbie. Awesome. Let's see what you got.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Debbie?
I'm Okay. I'm going to the Transformation Weekend.
Yay!
And at dinner tonight, I was telling my husband that I'm getting really anxious about going, and I'm not sure why.
Well, if you had to guess, why do you think you are anxious? Just take a guess.
Because I'm not doing all the work.
Okay. What work do you think you have to do to come to Transformation Weekend?
24-hour plans, recovery worksheets, TDLs, models, all that stuff.
Okay. Do you think you have to do all that to be admitted to the room on Friday?
No. Or it would have been probably a prerequisite.
Right. You would have had to submit them all and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right. Right.
So, why aren't you doing the work?
I'm struggling with that.
You know, Corinne's going to ask you.
I know. That's what I That's what I raised when you said you had.
So you better get your answer ready. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, she will ban I don't know in the first 2 or 3 minutes of the entire weekend.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
So
or you'll end up doing bear crawls. Nobody wants to do bear crawls.
I couldn't do bear crawls. So I joined in April and I was really excited and I got all my materials. Mm-hmm. And I have a sister who's an author and a writer and a journaler. And I've always told myself I don't do that.
Okay.
And so I did, you know, water, sleep, 2 to 2, real consistently. I've lost weight. Mm-hmm. I've lost 83 pounds total in like 13 since April. I'm like 5 pounds from my goal.
Yeah. Awesome.
And so when the Gift of Fat Challenge came up, I decided, okay, this is it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do 31 days of 24-hour plans. And I started them and I made it 4 days.
Okay.
And it felt really good. And, you know, life happened. My husband wanted to go somewhere and I didn't have my with and I hadn't taken a picture of it. And you know, just whatever. And so then the next day it was like, I know what I'm going to eat. I don't need to write it down. And so then the next day it's like, no, I've got to do this. I'm committed to it. I'm going to do it. And so I would write it down again. So I made it through the middle of July with probably, I'd have to go count, probably 8 plans was all. And I did a couple more and then I just stopped. And again, it's like I've got in my head, I can do this without doing the plans because I'm doing it without doing the plans. Even though I know that one of the foundations of the program is doing the plans.
So are you so losing weight like by not doing the plans?
I am.
You're losing weight by not doing the plans?
Still losing weight. I mean, that's very slow now, but I am still. I'm losing weight by not eating too much.
Okay.
And I'm doing that. I'm not eating. I'm not overeating, but, and I'm also not doing plans.
Okay. So what's
so when Corinne says, you know, if you're like, I don't know, but I know I can't say that. So like when Corinne says, if your life is perfect and wonderful and you just want to donate to my family, that's fine. But none of you are here to do that. And I think, well, maybe I am.
She will welcome you with open arms.
And yeah, I do. I listen to her and I love her enthusiasm. I love her story. I love everything she shares with us. I love her approach to weight loss. And I still don't do what she says to do.
So why did you sign up for the weekend?
Because I wanted to meet Corinne. Okay. I was starstruck.
Okay. So you didn't,
and that was,
there wasn't something specifically you wanted to work on. You just gave your money so you could meet Corinne.
I did. Cause I mean the Transformation Weekend opened up right after I joined.
Okay.
It was really quick in between joining and having to sign up for that. And she had said, I believe that, you know, it'll sell out quick.
It did.
And it did. And I was sitting there waiting for hitting the button when it opened because I wanted to go and meet Corinne. Mm-hmm. I'm in Misty Estep's group.
Missy Shea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Missy Shea.
Yeah, I think Estep might be her maiden name. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, there may be another Missy Estep in our group. I don't know. Okay. And so we were doing Marco Polo, and I realized I really don't like Marco Polo.
Okay.
So I kind of dropped out of that.
Yeah.
And I'm still really excited to get to come. Now I'm excited to come to meet all of you because I've met all of you through these mm-hmm. months and weeks of mm-hmm. watching you. So I'm still excited to come and do that. And I just have this, what is Corinne going to call me on the table for? Because I don't have anything.
So what about your life would you want to work on? You have super duper self-esteem. You got a great marriage. You got, you know, you're losing weight. What, you know, what would you want to work on?
Now those things are all true. Mm-hmm. I think part of why I joined, now I'm remembering, mm-hmm. besides being starstruck with Corinne, mm-hmm. I've never lost weight and kept it off.
Okay.
So I have cirrhosis of the liver mm-hmm. that was caused by autoimmune hepatitis. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to quit working and I've lost the weight as my doctors have asked me to do. And I've been diligent about it. And I do have this fear that if I don't do something, I won't keep it off.
Okay.
And since I'm still losing and not doing plans, it's kind of like, well, see, I can do it.
But for how long?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
You've already convinced yourself you don't have to plan. Well, what happens when you hit a stall and you have no data to look at to figure exactly. out what it was that you were doing when you were losing weight? And when you were losing weight at a good clip, what were you doing? Right. You don't know. That's why for you, that's why you plan and assess. I was telling somebody the other day, I'm not kidding here. It's kind of funny. I hit a stall back when I was losing my weight and I went back and I thought, what was that? That a couple weeks ago, I lost a couple of pounds. What did I eat that week? And it was chicken salad, homemade chicken salad, which I love. Okay. Love homemade chicken salad. And I thought, I'm going to make that again. And I lost a couple pounds the next week again. So now I have in my mind that Kathy's body loves homemade chicken salad. Why wouldn't I just eat that like every other week, right? But poor old Debbie over here, she's going to hit a stall. She's not going to know what the heck. Mm-mm. She was eating when she was losing and how her body reacted to it and how her body felt and whether or not it kept her satisfied. And whether or not, you know, she was had good poop, you know, whatever it is that you assess. I don't know about you, but that's important to me.
Right, okay? Right.
So that's why, that's a big reason why you plan and assess every day. So you have that information when you need it.
And I know that in my head. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've learned that from you all listening and watching. And it's not a time issue. I've got all the time in the world. I sleep a lot. And that's, you know, just part of my disease. I'm just fatigued all the time. But I have plenty of time because I have no other obligations. Mm-hmm. So it's not
that. You better get ready to answer that question.
I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it. Ever since July ended and I didn't do 31 plans, I was like, what am I going to tell Corinne? I failed her on her birthday month.
Today's Tuesday. Can you do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday plans and show me on Friday? Look, Kathy, remember me? We talked on Tuesday. I did my plans this week.
Yes, I could do that.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do 3 days easy.
All right.
I've done that before.
That's what you need then. And then while you're here this weekend, we're going to hook you up with somebody who's going to be on you, like stink on you know what, to make sure you're planning and assessing so that you have that data so that when you hit maintenance, you know what will keep you there.
You know what's crazy? I'm an accountant. My life.
Yes. What's wrong with this picture?
I know. My entire career was collecting and assessing data. So I know how that all works.
Yeah. You even almost like doing it.
Yes, exactly. I like doing it. Yeah.
I bet you had a 10 key, didn't you?
Oh, I have one here at my house now.
We're kindred spirits.
With a tape and everything.
Oh, wow. I think I love you.
I do the books for our church. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I do my deposit and then I do the tape to make sure the deposit matches what I put in the computer. And just like all accountants do.
So you'll do it for everybody
in their
else.
50s.
you'll collect the data for everyone else, but you won't do it for yourself.
Right.
That's your work. Find out why you're not good enough to collect your own data for.
Okay, good point.
Thank you.
Okay, I can do 3 days and I'll see you Friday.
All right. Travel safe. Where are you coming from?
Wichita, Kansas.
All right. Safe trip.
Thanks.
All right. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. That's a wrap. I am going to get on out of here. I hope you all have a great week. I'll see you again next Tuesday. See you later. Bye.